This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing. Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Research shows that students with involved parents are more likely to earn higher grades, attend school regularly, have better social skills, and graduate and go on to college. Do you see yourself as an equal partner in your child's education, and how do you advocate when things aren't as they should be? Some parents don't feel confident enough to speak out when there's a problem, and becoming an advocate or leader takes practice and support. From quality childcare to an equal and fair high school education, parent advocacy is needed more than ever, especially because California is doing so poorly at putting the needs of children first. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. There are still inequities in our educational system, and frequently low-income children suffer from the disparities. Many children go without supplies, books, experienced teachers, and an environment conducive to learning. And even in middle or high-income neighborhoods, children aren't always getting what they need socially, physically, or emotionally. When I worked at Kaiser Richmond, I spent a great deal of time encouraging parents to speak out when their kids weren't succeeding at school. I sat in on a few meetings and I saw how some teachers treated parents as partners and recognized their strengths, while at other schools there was a critical atmosphere where parents were not treated with respect and really were not welcomed. What a difference it makes to children when a school embraces the concepts of family support and makes a serious effort to encourage parent engagement. Today, we'll discuss ways you can increase your knowledge, skills, and power and make a difference in the childcare or school experience for your kid. As always, we want to hear from you. Call us and tell us how you're engaged in your child's education. And if you feel that you're not as involved as you would like to be, tell us what the barriers are. Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And if there are dads up listening this morning, we would love to hear from you. You know, we have passes each week to give away to wonderful Bay Area parks and museums and events. And today we have the book, From Parents to Partners, to give to our callers. Today's program is made possible in part by funding from the TRIO Foundation. Joining us in the studio is Jenny Acone. She's the executive director of Parent Services Project. It's a national nonprofit organization dedicated to integrating family support into early childhood programs in schools. Jenny is involved in training and advocacy efforts locally and nationally to integrate family support, engagement, and leadership into systems that serve families. Jenny brings community organizing and policy advocacy experience through prior work with regional and statewide immigrant rights organizations throughout California. She's the mother of two, ages 7 and 10. Jenny Acone, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Great to see you this morning. Also with us is Malia Franklin. She's the founder and executive director of the Bay Area Parent Leadership Action Network, better known as PLAN. It's a regional network working to unite and strengthen diverse parents and organizations to promote education justice through training, leadership development, organizing, and advocacy. Prior to PLAN, Malia worked as an editor, organizer, media director, and outreach manager in various social justice nonprofit organizations. She's the parent of three students in the Oakland Public Schools. She has twins who are 14 and a 16-year-old. Malia Franklin, great to have you with us this morning.
It's great to be here.
And I'm sure your kids are sleeping at this point.
I would imagine.
Good. Well, let's start with you, Jenny. Over 40 years ago, I think it was, our dear friend Ethel Seiderman founded Parent Services Project. Maybe you could tell us about some of the principles of family support and how that relates to advocacy and leadership.
Sure, absolutely. Well, as you alluded, we started back quite some time ago, and really the idea was how is it that we can engage and support families, and particularly those who are stressed with jobs, with maybe newly immigrating to this country, with the role of being active and supportive of their parents, I mean, of their children. And so one of the things that that the organization has been founded on are these family support principles. And I can share a few of them with you. One principle is that programs are family driven. And really what that means is that families, all families, have a voice in what their children need and in what they would like to see for their children in the program. And that the early childhood program or the school that is with that child is actively seeking out ways to engage those families in the school site or the early childhood program. And that might be like a parent council. It might be a parent leadership group. But really that there's families know best what their children need and have that voice. Another principle is shared power, and really that means building strong relationships, families and educators together, and sharing the power and the responsibility and the support and the cheerleading for the child. And then a third one would be affirming diversity and really recognizing that we do live in a diverse world, and California in particular is becoming more and more diverse. And so creating settings that include, welcome all types of families and allow those families to feel comfortable and connected.
That's a really good start, Jenny. And these things are so powerful in the lives of children. So we'll talk more about them for sure. Malia, maybe you can tell us why you started PLAN and give us some examples of the kinds of things parents have accomplished after doing some of the training programs that you provide.
Sure. Well, I started PLAN, really the kind of the thinking behind it started around 2002. And my first daughter started public school in 1998. And I have, one experience really crystallized for me the need for all parents to have the skills and knowledge and confidence to speak out for their kids was when I was trying to enroll my daughter in kindergarten, and she had been assigned a school that I wasn't happy with. And so being someone who has a community organizing background, I kind of knew what to do. I got advice from the principal, the school I wanted to go to. You know, she told me exactly what to do. I went down and waited in the office of the person who I needed to talk to. And beside me was an African-American woman who was in exactly the same situation. And she wasn't being heard. And she was angry. And she was starting to really lose it. And I knew she wasn't going to get what she needed. And I was. And part of that has to do with race and privilege. And part of it has to do with really knowing how to advocate. And having a background in social justice, I decided I wanted to put my two passions together and start PLAN.
You know, that's a great example that you saw it in action and how your training was able to help you in those frustrating situations where you don't feel like you're going to have power. And, I feel like for me also, sometimes it's my training as a nurse, as an advocate, that really makes a difference. And other times I just lose it too, so it really depends.
We all do.
We all do, right. So I thank you for that. And I think I'd love to hear this morning from people and any stories you have about how you've advocated for your child. And if you aren't sure how to approach your child's school or daycare with a problem, give us a call. And maybe, between the three of us here, I've done a lot of advocacy work also, we can help you. 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And we'll start now with our live line. We have Keto with us from Oakland this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about your life and advocacy. What's important for other parents to hear, and do you have any questions?
Well, basically, I thought the parent involvement meant I would be baking cupcakes for the next 13 years.
to raise money, huh?
But due to family law issues, my children needed, assistance as early as preschool. And so, in the beginnings, I was, really confused and, not knowing who or what to ask. That was a big obstruction in that, you know, path down the tunnel. So it was frustrating, to say the least.
And how did you figure out how to do what you needed to do? What happened?
Well, in 2005, I was introduced to Bay Area Parent Leadership Action Network, and I was invited to the training of training programs to Skyline High School in Oakland.
Uh-huh. And what happened?
Well, in the words of Flavor Flav, it was like, wow. Room full of like-minded folk,
uh-huh,
you know, who were like me, and they were fighting for equity in education. On completion of the training, I grabbed my binder and went back up to Skyline, and along with co-trainers, you know, we were training parents on education codes, school budgets, and asking the right questions.
So that probably took you by surprise to see, in a way, that just with some training and your binder, you know, you were able then to motivate other people also.
Right. I mean, you know, initially, even as parents, you know, we're taught to follow the rules, color within the lines. And so you have this go-along to get-along mentality. So, you know, you become fearful to speak to the principal or to speak to a teacher, even.
Yeah, and I want to stay with us. I want to address that fear here with my guests. Malia, maybe you could say something about that fear.
Well, I think parents experience just walking into a school, whether that school is welcoming or not. And oftentimes there's a very sort of brisk, bureaucratic environment where parents aren't looked in the eye or maybe even outright disrespected. And especially if you don't speak the dominant language and there's no one in the office that does, it's assumed that a parent is a troublemaker, you know, not in the family support principles, but kind of the opposite, in which a lot of schools operate in that way. And I think that it just is a barrier just to even speak up. And even I had an experience of my daughter's first day of sixth grade trying to talk to the counselor, and she just literally turned her back on me and walked away. And the disempowerment I felt, I think a lot of parents enter schools feeling disempowered, and that there's a lot of reasons why that's reinforced the minute they walk on campus.
Jenny, also, I think Kito really brought up the word fear, and I think it's a key to a lot of the problems that parents have. You want to address that?
Sure. Well, a lot of the work that we do with parents and at school sites is starting with building a level of a comfortable environment for them. We try to work with the educators around that, and also parents connecting with other parents and finding their voice with other parents. I think that's an important piece that both Plan and Parent Services Project do, is really help parents not feel alone. And when they begin to use their voice, I do think it helps them to realize they can do it. And hopefully they have a successful experience doing it. But even if they don't initially, they've still got other people that they can talk to about it.
Good. And Kito, I was wondering if in your experience now, how old are your children now?
18 and 20.
Ah, so they're grown. Yeah, you've been doing this a long time.
Definitely.
In your experience, is there like a word of encouragement that you could put out there for any parent who's listening to not back off and to stay the leader that a child needs?
Well, yes, and especially that even if in that foreground you don't see the help there, especially that there are other parents and like-minded folk to support you and to be out there, and to have the courage to speak your mind.
Right. So joining together is one of the keys to find and realize that there are other like-minded parents. And
right. I mean, it was surprising to me because, again, I walked into this educational system feeling like I was the only one that had the situation going on.
Yes. And then you found out, in fact, that's not the case, and that when you band together, there's a kind of support that's needed. Kito, thank you for joining us this morning. And I think you're the kind of person who, you know, is helping other people out there. Do you know the book From Parents to Partners, Building a Family-Centered Early Childhood Program?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Would you like a copy?
Yes, please.
Good. Janice Kaiser is a fabulous person who wrote it, and it might be of help to someone who you're working with. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You know, this, what she's saying is so important about how we feel alone and isolated. And I think what both of you are doing in your programs is reminding parents that they're not alone and they're not isolated. 1-877-372-KIDS. If you've had an experience that you want to talk about parent advocacy, leadership, and maybe we should start off. Jenny, can you define what we mean by advocacy?
Well, it's really by speaking out and taking actions on behalf of your child that you think will support. Well, it could be on behalf of any issue, but in the case of our discussion, it's on behalf of the child and really being the foremost advocate, which would be, you know, moving for change, for the changes you want.
Malia, advocacy, what does that mean to you?
Advocacy means finding your voice and using it on behalf not only of your own child but of all children, and really pushing for what you think the change should be, and using your story as a powerful tool to bring about change, because people can't ignore the personal as much as they can ignore the numbers.
You know, I was just thinking about a caller who emailed me recently, and she was struggling in childcare because her child was biting. Mm-hmm. And she called me and I gave her some ideas about why children bite. Sometimes they're frustrated or they're having trouble with language.
I had one of those.
You had one of those. And, you know, that really, as the partnership we're talking about between the parent and the school, you can work that out, you know. And what was happening is that her child was being punished every time, and her child, they were threatening to take her child out of the school. And, you know, I really encouraged her to go to the director and talk, and that if that wasn't, that partnership wasn't going to happen, she needed to find another school. Mm-hmm. And Jenny, this is what I know Parent Services Project does a lot, is to work in childcare settings. Mm-hmm. And for that parent, she finally did find another school, and she wrote to me recently and said, you know, my kid is doing well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for all parents who are up this morning listening that if your child is struggling and you can't get that relationship working well with the staff, you've got to make change.
Yes. It's one of the most important roles I think an early childhood program or a school has, is welcoming that relationship and inviting it. However, if it's not there, it's a two-way street, and parents really should seek it out as well. And I completely agree with you that, you know, if after trying it doesn't work, you should seek other avenues. However, so much of it is just taking that first step on both sides and, recognizing that many of our teacher education programs really don't train teachers to work with families. They train them to work with children and support their academics and their development. And so it's a skill building on both sides. But it can be very, very powerful. When that relationship is established, there's a learning that can happen on both sides, where the teacher really understands maybe where the family and where the child is coming from a little bit more, knowing the home environment story. And the family is learning some of the things and tips and strategies the educator's doing.
And in this circumstance with this mother, you know, part of it was her having the confidence that what was going on, she had the right to say, wait a second, this isn't okay. And Malia, I would imagine that a lot of your work is helping parents build that confidence.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have lots of examples of parents who felt initially disempowered and through our training really learned how to step up on behalf of not only their own kids, but kids in the school. We have a program called Parents Ready for School, and it's a program that is for parents of 3- and 4-year-olds primarily, but really children of all ages and from infancy to 5, who really have very little knowledge of the school system. And it's a 6-week training program. Primarily, we train immigrant parents, parents who are new to the country, for whom English is not the first language. And we have lots of great examples of how parents learn what they need to know.
And all parents need this help. And we're talking about advocacy and leadership. And after the break, we'll be really happy to take your call.
G
Join the dialogue.
Share your thoughts.
Add your feedback.
Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Santa Clara County.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Sonoma families, learn about the tasty olives that grow in our sunny state. Olive expert Don Landis will be at the Jacuzzi Family Vineyards today, January 10, from 11 to 1. For more information, call 707-823-5097. That's 707-823-5097. Belmont families, did you resolve to get healthy in the new year? Learn how from an integrative medicine nurse practitioner at the Belmont Library, Monday, January 11, from 7 to 8:30. For more information, call 650-591-8286. That's 650-591-8286. Stay warm and dry at the Santa Cruz Library during an afternoon movie. The library will be showing Spider-Man on Wednesday, January 13, from 1:30 to 3:30. For more information, call 831-420-5330. That's 831-420-5369. Honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Richmond during their Peace March. The parade will march from Harborway South in Florida to MLK Park on Friday, January 15 at 3. For more information, call 510-620-6542. That's 510-620-6542. Join Nurse Rona at the Salinas Adult School's Parent University 2010 workshop. Classes cover topics such as temper tamers, improving communication skills, and more. Wednesday, January 27, from 8 to 1. Call now to register at 831-796-6900. That's 831-796-6900. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
With the new year already off to a start, it's a great time for parents and caregivers to focus on fostering children's healthy growth and development. Infants begin learning from the day they are born. As your child's first teacher, you play a key role in helping him or her grow. Help your baby develop language skills by encouraging him or her to make sounds and by responding to them. Talking, singing, and rhyming with your infant also helps build vocabulary. And it's never too early to start reading to your child. Make reading a daily habit and repeat stories to promote language and listening skills. For more tips on fostering healthy development, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay or first5california.com/parents. That's first5kids.org/bay or first5california.com/parents. Brought to you by First 5 California.
Teach your children well.
We continue with Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Contra Costa.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
Today, we're talking with Jenny Acone, Executive Director of Parent Services Project, known as PSP, and Malia Franklin, Founder and Executive Director of the Bay Area Parent Leadership Action Network, known as PLAN. Call us at 877-372-KIDS with your experiences about advocating for your child, and also let us know where you think parents need to join forces to make changes that would put our children at the center of our policies and laws. You know, the way I think about parent leadership is you are the leader in your home. You're the leader in your school community. You're the leader in your community. And we need to be leaders in our state. We need to be leaders on so many different levels because we must kind of turn things around so that children really are at the center. And I think, in talking about that, I think people need to know that programs like yours exist, both of you, and also that there are programs on policy levels. I mean, when you're doing your trainings, Malia and Jenny, are you teaching people about also sort of government and law?
Absolutely. And we also connect parents to our own campaigns. Parents from our trainings form delegations that we lead to talk to their legislators about the issues that are important to them in the state budget and even in their own school districts. So we want them to put their knowledge into action right away.
And for you also, is that part of what you're doing with Parent Services Project?
Yes, it is a part. Our focus really is helping parents understand navigating their local school and what the parent groups are and what the power of those parent groups are. And then we also do connect them to other more organizing opportunities such as PLAN. And so we actually, our two organizations have partnered quite a bit, and we have a lot of the families that have gone through our trainings are then really ready to move on to the advocacy step of at the state level.
And, you know, there's Parent Voices also. Most communities in California have a Parent Voices, which is part of the California Resource and Referral Network. And, you know, the way I picture it, I did parent advocacy training many years ago, and it was like building these cadres of parents who, you know, if you picture them all then coming together at some point when you go to Washington, I mean, go to Sacramento, even Washington, can really say we can make a difference. And on that note, we have with us now Ted Lampert. He is the president of Children Now, which is a national resource and advocacy organization. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Rona. How are you?
I'm great. And, you know, I had a chance to look at your wonderful new website and see the report that you did, this 2010 report card. And I thought it'd be a great opportunity for you to tell us a little bit about that to really maybe stimulate more advocacy on the part of parents. Tell us about the report card, Ted.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's not a great report card. You know, I like to say this is not a report card I'd want any of my kids bringing home. And what's really a concern this year is that we've been doing this report card at Children Now for 20 years, and these are the worst grades that we've ever recorded for kids in California.
These are the worst this year. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow.
And so basically, you know, the one bright spot is really because Prop 49 has been protected, and California does relatively well in terms of access to after-school programs. So that after-school received a B plus. But other than that, we're mostly looking at C's and D's, D plus for health coverage, a D for K through 12, D for early learning and development.
And I just want people to know you're saying D's, like dog,
yeah,
not B's. These are D's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, most of the grades either stayed the same or went down from last year. And what these grades are reflecting, you know, is the fact that you know, we have you know, a million kids without health insurance. The fact that, you know, we remain one of the lowest funded states in terms of education, and that even with some of the strides we've made in early education, there's still far too many families without access to any early education, let alone quality early education.
You know, Ted, here we have two great organizations represented, and we know of others. Parents who are listening, you know, when they hear about these D's on oral health, asthma, health coverage, you know, K through 12, we got a C in early learning and development. What can we do, Ted? what advice do you have for folks listening as to how to turn these things around when we're up against so many government constraints?
Well, we can turn it around, and while it obviously is a difficult time, it really is all about priorities. And the problem is both in Washington, D.C. and in Sacramento, children have simply not been the priority. And so I have three very quick suggestions. One, I heard a little bit of the conversation before I got on, and clearly keeping the pressure on legislators and really ramping that up and saying, you know, you cannot vote for a budget that is not good for kids, because that's a budget that's not only not a moral budget, but a budget that makes absolutely no economic sense for our future. Second, another thing I urge parents to do is people are involved in lots of different networks that are involved in Sacramento, and, you know, whether it's civil rights networks or they're part of in their job, their business has a network in Sacramento. So people should be, parents in the different networks that they are involved in should be saying, hey, our organization needs to be prioritizing children, because there's really no group out there that doesn't benefit from the fact that our children are doing better. And third, we need to, all of us who care about children, I actually think that's just about every Californian, needs to be much more coordinated and really saying that this is the same thing to elected officials, because that kind of coordination is how you can really move policy change. And that's what we're really driving behind this new children's movement, where we need to frame these issues as you're either doing the right thing for kids or the wrong things for kids, and really ramping up the pressure on our public officials.
Malia Franklin, Ted Limpert is saying some key things here. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. And one of the things we have to think about is we have structural issues that are creating this revenue problem. We have a legislature that needs a two-thirds vote to pass any revenue increase, and that's just untenable. We need to have a legislative system that is standing for kids, and parents and everyone who cares about kids should be writing and calling the legislature, especially now that the budget's being considered, and telling them to stand up for kids.
Jenny Echo?
Yeah, I agree as well. And I think, you know, the information from the report card is striking, and I think that families are experiencing it in their schools, but hearing it and knowing this is the grade that we got and it was the worst in 20 years is also something that can really rally parents. There have been a lot of parents working in their local schools to improve and just hitting roadblocks. And so I do agree with Ted in terms of there's got to be movement at that state level as well.
Yes. Ted, I'd love to do a whole show with you sometime on this. And I think we need to all join forces and have a campaign so that we as parents, as providers, as neighbors, as grandparents, you know, can really make a difference. Thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's Ted Limpert. He's the president of Children Now. Check out their website at, I think it's childrennow.org. Thank you, Ted.
You're listening to Childhood Matters. Important info for parents and child caregivers.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Marin.
Let's take more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. Tell us what you think, how to advocate for children, and what your barriers are. We have Wendy waiting from Santa Clara. Thanks, Wendy. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me, what do you think?
You just got to be persistent. And if the teachers don't help, you got to go beyond them, talk to the office, find out what programs are available, and just be persistent. That's what I've had to do with all three of my kids, and find out what's out there and what kind of programs to get them in. And my youngest one, I talk to his teacher like every other week to make sure he's doing okay.
And did you just know to do that naturally, or did someone help you with that?
Well, when I was younger, I went to, my kids go to the same school, elementary school, that I went to. They've gone to all the same schools. And when I was younger, I had problems, and they had programs available. So then I've also had my daughter in a different school, and they didn't have anything. So I had to transfer her out of schools because the teachers just wouldn't help. They didn't have after-school programs, and they didn't have anything available and nowhere to turn to. So I pulled her out and put her back into the school that I grew up in. I kind of knew, and I knew just to be persistent and always ask questions.
And are you dealing with a child with special needs, or is it just sort of the normal special needs of all children?
Well, my son needs special needs. He's like behind in his reading.
Uh huh.
My other two kids had ADHD.
Yeah.
So I just had to learn, the teachers had to learn to work with them. I had to constantly talk to the teachers and the counselors and find the teacher that would work with them. If that one wouldn't do it, we'd have to find another teacher.
So you just stayed very persistent, even though you weren't involved in any particular group of parents. You just knew that you had to stay persistent.
Yeah, always ask questions. I was always in the office asking what programs were going to be available.
And, you know, out in Santa Clara County, there's Parents Helping Parents, which is a great organization for parents of kids with special needs, just so people should know who are listening. And I think that's part of it, Jenny, isn't it, for people to find out where those organizations are?
Absolutely. And it's challenging in some cases, especially for families that don't speak English, because they don't necessarily have that access point. But I know I was listening to the caller, and, you know,
it really does start with showing up and asking questions. And then as you learn, you can also help and mentor other parents. And I was just curious whether the caller had any experience helping other parents once she had learned the resources.
Well, let's ask her. Wendy?
I have. I've done that. If my son was in a program and they're the parent, I'd be talking to them and I'd be like, well, you should ask about this. My son's in that too.
That's
or
great.
Or another parent would have told me something and then I'd ask questions too.
That's great. And I think it's important that, Malia, isn't it important that then people like Wendy don't be seen as a pain in the neck, right? That they be seen as someone who really can make a difference in a school.
Absolutely. And I'll say two things. One is that all parents should remember that a free and appropriate public education is a birthright for their child, no matter where their country of origin is or anything. This is as close as we have as a birthright. And so you have to start with that perception that it's the teacher's and the school's job to educate your child. But I think it's equally important for them to know that you are your child's best advocate. You know what your child needs to be successful.
That's right. Absolutely. Wendy, how old are your kids?
I have a 24-year-old son, and I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son.
Wow. So you've been doing this work for a long time, and I just want to thank you for calling, and I want to encourage you to be that powerful leader that you are. Children will benefit, who you don't even know, they'll benefit from that when you speak up at the schools. Have you taken your youngest to Children's Discovery Museum? I'm going to send you a family pack for that so you can go again. It's a great place, isn't it?
Yes, he loves it.
Good. Well, we'll send you for some passes there. And thanks so much for calling this morning, Wendy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Let's take a call now from Carla in Oakland. Good morning, Carla.
Hi, good morning.
So we're talking about parent advocacy. What's your point of view?
I think it's absolutely important for all parents to be involved, not only in their children's education, at their school, at the local level, within the schools, but also within the school district, talking to teachers, being involved in the community. I think that's one of the things that I think it's very important for all parents to do when it comes to parent advocacy, is advocating not only for your child, but also for families, other families in the community as well.
So you've worked with PLAN, right?
Yes.
And can you give me something specific that you've done because of your work there?
Sure. It's funny, actually, when I started working with PLAN, it was through the work that I've been doing. I'm a site coordinator for a program called Safe Routes to Schools, Alameda County, and so I've been doing that sort of work. It's a nonprofit organization, and I just heard about PLAN, about the work that they do with regards to parent leadership and advocacy, and I started working with PLAN through work. But then on a personal level, I started learning more about the organization and learning about the work that they're doing with parents and parent leadership and advocacy. And so I started, first I took one of their leadership, I believe, training of trainers.
And how has it made a difference to you on a personal level as a mother?
I think it's wonderful. I've never before learned, I hadn't known about how you can be an advocate, parent advocate, on a personal level like that. I think I learned more things about things that I can become more involved with in the community, not only with, learning about my child's education personally, but also things that I can do on a state level, impact policy, for example.
Yes. Yeah, so you feel like you actually can make a difference for your child locally and then also go further on a state level.
Exactly.
How old is your child?
He's going to be 3 next month.
So you've started early.
I am, which is very exciting.
Yes, I bet someday he's going to say to your mom, I'm so proud of all the work you did. I'd like to send you some tickets to Fairyland in Oakland. Have you brought him there yet?
I have, actually, yeah.
Do you like it?
I love it, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we'll send you some tickets, and thank you for calling in this morning. And it sounds like you'd love to see other people join you in these trainings. So thank you so much, Carla.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I'd love to hear from teachers also. If you're a teacher out there, what do you think about parent advocacy? How does that stand for you? What's your point of view? We'll take your call in just a minute.
pick up the phone and get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
You can't always be there to protect your child. This flu season, there are flu vaccines that can. Even with best efforts, their hygiene is less than perfect, especially when they're in school and childcare. Children are constantly touching and playing with others. It's no wonder more children get the flu than people of any other age group. So protect them by teaching them to cough into their sleeves or elbows, not their hands, and wash their hands often. Keep them home when they're sick. Call your local health department or visit their website to find out where to get H1N1 and seasonal flu vaccine.
In California, one in three children is overweight or at risk of becoming overweight. As a parent or caregiver, help stop this trend by making sure your child exercises regularly and eats right. Turn off the TV and encourage your child to play, run, skip, and jump. By building strong muscles and bones, kids are healthier and less likely to become overweight or develop diseases like type 2 diabetes. Also, make sure your child eats at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. For healthy, affordable recipe ideas, order a free copy of First 5 California's Yummy for Your Tummy mini cookbook by calling 1-800-KIDS-025. For more on healthy lifestyle choices, contact your local Bay Area First 5 or visit first5kids.org/bay.
One of the hardest things a parent faces is how to set clear limits with love. Here are some tips to keep in mind. Have clear rules and expectations. Have reasonable consequences for misbehavior and acknowledge respectful behavior. And try to understand why your child is acting out. Is it stress or anxiety? For more information and tips on how to discipline your child, visit www.childhoodmatters.org. And remember that world peace begins at home. This message is brought to you by the David B. Gold Foundation.
Finding help in the Bay Area is easier than ever before. Dial 211 to speak with a trained caring specialist who will match your needs with local services, including childcare, rent assistance, counseling, job services, health care, food, and so much more. Dial 211 for free confidential help, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Help starts here. Dial 211. 211 is a service of United Way, Eden I&R, and the Contra Costa Crisis Center.
Did you know that in San Francisco and the East Bay, one in every 5 children has been diagnosed with asthma? In fact, asthma is the most common reason kids are hospitalized in the Bay Area. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
Forever young, I want to be forever young.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Marin. Here's more with Nurse Rona.
We're talking with Jenny Acon. She's the Executive Director of Parent Services Project, known as PSP, and Malia Franklin, Founder and Executive Director of PLAN, which is the Bay Area Parent Leadership Action Network. And we're talking with you, 1-877-372-KIDS. You wanted to say something about child success in school, Jenny.
Yes, I just want to reiterate and let people know that, you know, a lot of times people think it might be the income level of a family that leads to a child's success in the long run. But really, the research shows that family involvement in their child's education is twice as predictive as family income of a child's success. And so it just is, you know, it's really important for people to know that their involvement matters.
And the involvement can be in so many different ways. Don't feel guilty if you work one or two jobs and can't get to your child's school. There are ways to be involved that are different. And it could be that you help a teacher out with something that you actually work on the weekend, or you help your child with their work, or you come and you take a mental health day from work one day and you participate in the school. Malia, I would imagine that you agree with Jenny on the value of parent involvement.
Absolutely. Well, for one thing, it shows your child how much you care and it inspires them. But even more important, just your involvement can improve the school, which then improves the education for all children. And it's really important to show up if you can, but if you can't, try to learn as much as you can about who's making the decisions in your child's school and network with those people. One of the things I've done is attend as many meetings as I can, especially in the early years in a school, because then you kind of find out who the players are and what kind of things that they care about, and they can recognize you so that when you have an issue or a problem, you're known in the school community. If you can't show up, there's still ways that you can be involved and you can help. But
that's right.
It's definitely important.
And most teachers really want that. And matter of fact, we have Carol on the line from San Mateo, and she is a teacher. So let's talk to her. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you think about us talking about parent advocacy this morning?
I think that the biggest thing you can do, just from a teacher's perspective, is just to be involved. So you need to go to the back-to-school night. Now, I'm a high school teacher, so I'm not sure as well how it works in the grade school, but I'm assuming that there's a back-to-school night in the grade school. So you go to that, you introduce yourself to the teacher, and you, especially at the lower grades, if you have any time that you can actually volunteer in the classroom, that's the best thing, because you develop a relationship with that teacher, and it gives you a much better position to be able to advocate for your child and actually know what's really going on in the classroom.
I love the music in the background. Is that your child there playing?
Yeah, he insisted on pulling back out the Christmas train.
I know, it had that Christmassy feeling to it. How old is your child?
He's three.
He's three.
Yeah, so
are you going to be one of those parents who are involved in his childcare and his school?
Yeah, as much as possible. You know, and then there's the good old-fashioned, you know, PTSA, just to be, you know, involved with other parents and just know, you know, between parents, just talking about what's going on, what programs are available, and just, you know, being there as much as possible is the biggest thing. I know it's really hard. I work full time, so it's really a challenge for parents that work full time to be able to do that. But
yes,
you just have to try to find the time.
You have to try and find the time. I love it. Is he singing now in the background? I love it. It's wonderful entertainment, Carol. So there are teachers out there who want parents to be involved, and I think that's a message here. I really appreciate that you called us as a teacher this morning, Carol.
Yeah, I think the hard part is, just really quickly, is that, you know, if you have a parent that's not involved and then they come in really aggressive toward you, and it kind of puts you off because you kind of feel like, wow, you know, I don't know. It kind of puts you on the defensive.
Exactly.
If you can work together, you realize, okay, you know, the goal is to help your child. And so how can we work together to find the best solutions?
Working together is the key. Thank you for putting that out. Not being aggressive, working together,
right,
but being assertive. Carol, I'll send you some Children's Discovery Museum passes for you and your adorable sounding three-year-old.
Thanks
for calling this morning.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let's take a listen to some voices from one of our producers in the past who's talked to parents about involvement.
We're talking about parent involvement. Would you say that you're involved in your children's school?
I try to participate in as many activities as I can.
What challenges do you face?
Balancing working and being able to be available, racing from job to school. It's difficult. I didn't like necessarily to sit down and do homework with my kids because I felt that doing it for them was giving them a crutch. I would check it. What is a priority?
All the research shows across the board that parents are the most important factor in a child's success.
You would like to attend that PTA meeting or go to that child's open house, and it's difficult.
What would make it easier?
Not having to work.
My parents were always pretty involved with the school, but they didn't come up, and I don't really like it when my parents come to the school because it sort of makes me feel nervous.
I feel kind of uncomfortable when my parents come because I feel like there's something wrong.
It's not really fun having your parents at school all the time because it's really hard to be yourself.
It's hard to manage
manage your schoolwork when you have a teacher that you don't feel like is teaching the way you'd like her to?
Parents, they are the first teacher. They're the lifelong teacher. The students in California are 75% students of color, and yet teachers of color are only 25%. What we have to do is convince the African-American parent and the Mexican-American parent navigate this school system on behalf of their children.
For parents who may not have had the opportunity to advance their education, a lot of times this difficulty understanding the work.
Unfortunately, when it comes to low-income and children of color, the treatment they receive is very different than the treatment children of middle-class and upper-class neighborhoods get. And the reason is the school system has the expectation that's much higher for middle and upper than it does for low-income. There is less impunity when children of color and children of low income fail.
It's up to the parents to kind of police what it is that their children are being taught so that they can know whether there's something they need to petition to have removed.
What do you want your parents to know?
What I want for my parents is to be close to me and to keep a good relationship.
Get involved.
As a parent, you should help your child become more self-confident and make sure that they're not doing drugs or anything like that.
For most things that are important, people make time. And usually kids win out.
And usually kids win out. Oh, I want parents to be close to me. I love that. Malia Franklin, your response to this?
Well, I think really talking about kids of color and parents of color in this state is really important. And that's who PLAN works with. We're working with low-income immigrant and African-American families who really do come up against more barriers, and their kids are getting less of everything good in school and more of everything negative in school. And so stepping up is twice as important. The achievement gap between white children and children of color is absolutely unconscionable, and we have to do everything in our power to make sure that all children receive an excellent education, and parents should be stepping up and can step up.
How can people find out if they're in this area? How can they find out about the work of PLAN?
They can visit our website at www.parentactionnet.org, and they can get on our newsletter and get information about trainings and other events.
Good. Malia Franklin does really great work here in Alameda County and other parts throughout the Bay Area. So thank you so much. Jenny Acone responds to our wonderful person on the street that Shannon Braxton did for us.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I really heard a lot around families trying to do that balancing of work and being involved and really having that focus and establishing that goal that you are going to model the value of learning and set high expectations for your kids by being involved and networking with other parents to do it and just taking whatever steps that you can to be involved. As you mentioned earlier, there's so many different ways. And the state of the state is such that we have to not just be there at the school, but in other ways as well. So I would just urge all the listeners to take whatever steps that they can to really be that advocate for their child.
Yeah. And Jenny, what about the part where I think it's so important that the children were saying, oh, I don't really want my parents there? Because I know that, you know, around middle school, it's very important for kids not to feel like their parents are, you know, giving them a kiss in front of all their friends. But I also found that my kids were really thrilled that I went to their events, that I participated in the diversity committee. Don't you think that kids really do still like it when you show up?
They do. I mean, they may say that because their friends are around or whatever, but I think they miss it when you're not there.
What do you think, Malia?
I have middle school and high school kids, and so I understand both sides of it. But my kids have actually said to me, I'm proud of what you do, and I'm glad you're doing it for me.
Thank you for that. And Jenny Acone, how can people find Parent Services Project? Parent Services Project. And you're in Marin County, but you're also statewide and
national. We work nationally, yes.
Yeah.
Our website is www.parentservices.org.
Good. Well, Jenny Acone, thank you for your work. It's real powerful. And don't forget to say hi to Ethel for me when you see her,
sure.
Okay? I also want to remind people to go to parentvoices.org to learn about the work they do. They have a program called Knowledge is Power. And also for you in West County, Child Abuse Prevention Council is working with West County First Five, and they'll be doing a program there. It's free, 232-5650, area code 510. Thank you to our guests, our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West at the controls, Lacey Daniel, Felsha Zuschlag, our producers, Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services, and I'm forever grateful to my kids, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. Childhood Matters, and so do you.
Listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.